This new series is The Power of a Changed Mind. And so we're going to start here at Mark chapter 2, verse 6 through 12. The Bible reads, "But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why do this man thus speak blasphemy?' So they questioning Jesus' motive here. 'Who can forgive sins but God only?' And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, 'Why reason ye these things in your hearts, whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he hath said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house.' And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw it on this fashion.'" And so I really want to talk to you about this because, see, when you deal with the day of Pentecost, Pentecost was something that happened 50 days after the Passover. And so one of the things that I've been teaching empowered in our Bible study in our Sundays that Jesus had the power to forgive. And it was his own prerogative and his own prerogative alone in forgiving mankind for the acts and the deeds that they performed themselves. Now, through his sovereignty, we recognize that he didn't have to forgive anybody. And he would have been justified even if he didn't forgive sin. But by his own prerogative, he chose because he loved mankind so much. And if you're reminded of Genesis, he said he made man and created them in his image after his own likeness for men to worship him. And so in the Garden of Eden, this was a perfect situation because we recognize that Adam had a glory suit on, which was the glory of God, and his presence filled that place. Just as when you look in the first century church, when you deal with the book of Acts in chapter 2, when Pentecost came after the 50 days after the Passover, that it filled the house and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Now, I want to hit two different things because the series I want to talk about here is, number one, is being filled. And this was something that Jesus told them to do. He told the disciples to get to the upper room. And we understand that when Jesus died, that was a shakeup within the cities and in the nation at that time because a great leader had passed on. And so they didn't know what to do. Although he said he would be risen in 3 days, they didn't know. But the fact of the matter is that he told them to get to this place because this place was going to be a significant move. And if they didn't get there, they would have missed out. Now, many people called to get to this place, but a lot of them fell off because they didn't believe. And that's why I say you got to be in a position to receive. The healing is there in your life, but are you able to receive that healing? And so one thing he did is he had the power to forgive. And some of us have to really search deep down in our heart to forgive those who wrongfully used us or walked out on us or did us wrong. And he had the power to do that. And God has given us all a free will to make a decision to do what we need to do in our life. It is not nothing that he restrains us from, but he's given us a free will. Now, we understand that God is deity and he manifested himself into flesh and came down as a human form of man. And he had to live by the same rules because he set those perimeters and rules for men. And so that's why he had to die a death on the cross. But what that death did was it released the Spirit of God back into mankind life, because through Adam's sin, the Spirit departed and Adam was actually kicked out of the garden. And the Spirit of God departed from him because he had sinned against God in that fashion. And so God's whole premise through Jesus was is to come to release that Spirit and put man back in his rightful place as he was in the garden. And so the day of Pentecost came, which brought now that Spirit back, and it filled the house because that reunion was there through Pentecost. And that was a promise that Jesus made. So this was not unorthodox. This was not a surprise. Jesus promised us us, that he will fill us in this time. And so he releases his spirit after the cross, because he was the only one that can die a death that he did. And his blood that was shed on Calvary was here to redeem all mankind, to put us back in our rightful place, including women as well. So I'm not discriminating against that point. But the cross was a pivotal point. And by that, we understand that we had the transferring power, which was the Holy Ghost. Now, when you understand what a mitre is, a mitre was an old hat that was shaped as a cone that would sit on the priest's head, or a Catholic priest as he was being ordained as a bishop, and they would walk in. So the Bible says that when the Holy Ghost came, it filled the house, and the mitre fell upon each one of their heads. He said they fell like cloven tongues. And I can relate to that, because the Bible talked to me about God being a consuming fire. So when he moves in the house as a fire, and this was not the first time that the Spirit of God fell. We look at in Moses' day that the glory fell and filled the temple, that they couldn't even go in and worship. And Joel talked about the Spirit falling. Now, I'm not going to get into all of this, because I'm going to have to come back and finish this. But one thing I want you to realize is that the Holy Ghost was meant for you to have an unction to function. And the Holy Ghost was there reinstating and reaffirming you back to your rightful place as it was in the garden, to put back on that glory suit. Jesus always desired to dine with mankind. He always desired to be with us. Now, the evidence of speaking in other tongues, some theologians believe that that was not a mighty act, or that was not a supernatural move. Well, I debate that, because that was a supernatural move. These was just ordinary men, and these were people that didn't just know multiple languages, because in Acts it tells us that on the day of Pentecost that they began to speak in other tongues. Now, we understand in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Bible, how he declares that Paul said that when you speak into this unknown tongue, you speak great mysteries unto God. It is a personal relationship. Now, the debate is, can I do it in private, or can I do it in public? Well, you can do both. That's the beautiful thing about it, because as a public display here in Acts, when that spirit hit the house, it fell on all 120 of those that was in the upper room. And it hit not only that house, but it hit that whole region, because when they were all filled, they began to speak in this unknown tongue in a public display. Now, when you go into a place of worship, and when you look at the old Jewish tradition, that they will go, thousands of them, and go kneel before the Lord and pray in their languages. This was not the first time that they had one accord, was on one accord in their language. If you look at the Tower of Babel, or when you look at the Garden of Eden, they prayed or talked in a very spiritual way. And so I think sometime when we look at the 21st century, we're so caught up on speaking in a particular language like English or Spanish or Hebrew or Greek, when the fact of the matter is that was not our original language. Now, when you look at history, we understand that the British came to America and England came, and they had power and money. And what they did was they made sure that everybody that was in America spoke English. And so sometimes we get caught up because we are a product of where we come from. And because we was raised to speak a certain way, don't mean that that was our original language. And that was the Spirit of God in the garden. And so by him releasing that power on Pentecost, it brings us back into an original language that we did have. Now, in the public display, if I'm in a relationship with God, whether I'm in church, if I'm in a grocery store, whether I'm on the streets, I can go into that place with God and lift my hands and begin to pray or speak in that unknown tongue, because the Bible says that it is a gift. Now, I'm not going to be mad if you don't get that gift, because it's up to you whether you get it or you receive it or not. But the fact of the matter is, he gave you a gift so he can have a personal relationship with you, and that you can speak with him through this language, and he may give you the gift in interpretations. But even if he don't, the fact of the matter is, you are able to connect with God through that original language, which is the Holy Ghost. Now, oftentimes, I've learned, and I did even when I got saved, you know, some people would say when you get baptized in Jesus' name, you got to go down in water and come up and speak. Well, it may not fall on you at that time. When I did it, I was expecting the power to hit when I got baptized, but it came on me about a month or two later, because I had to look at scripture and I had to get a revelation of myself for myself. And when I was in my room praying one night, it fell and it hit. And I was thankful to have a Holy Ghost filled pastor at the time to go sit down and talk with them and ask them, what is this power that I'm feeling? Why am I speaking in these other tongues? And he was able to break it down and disseminate for me to see what I was doing. And I realized through me doing that, I will see mysteries come to pass in my life, answers I will be looking for, blessings I will be looking for, things that I needed God to do in my life by me spending that time with him in prayer, even in English and in this unknown tongue. God was able to release that blessing on my life. And so I'm not saying, you know, I'm saying to you, don't discredit that. Now, you have a lot of theologians believe that this just was a first century move. The fact of the matter is God never changed. He's the same today and forevermore. And so when he releases a gift, he don't just take that gift back from you. He releases it for you to use it and activate it anytime you need to. And so I'm not, again, coming to the debate the fact that if you're not speaking in tongues, something is going to happen to you, or if you're speaking in tongues, you're going to be more blessed. The fact of the matter is, it's a gift, and this was a supernatural move of God. So what does this have to do with the scripture? Because some theologians believe that healing don't even take place in the first century. Some theologians believe that the dead cannot be raised, or lame cannot walk, or those that are blind can't see. Well, the fact of the matter is, when God releases a blessing, the same blessing that was released in the first century church and before that is the same blessing that's released in the 21st century church. And so therefore, by you having a Holy Ghost and understanding the power you walk in, you're able to lay hands and heal the sick. You're able to lay hands and bring them to recovery. And this is what Jesus is doing, and this is why the scribes is having a big problem with him, because he's doing this in an unorthodox way. And that's why he says here, who can forgive sin but God? And so we have to understand that God manifested himself in flesh. And so oftentimes when you break his deity down, trying to separate who he is as far as him as a Father or Son or just Holy Ghost, you have to understand that the Spirit of God dwells in man. And 100% deity and 100% God in humanity. And so when he manifests himself through flesh as Jesus Christ, this is the same God that we see here. And so that's why he was able to go around and heal the sick on the Sabbath day, because he was God walking among us. He was not a separate entity. He was the same divine revelation, a revelator that came down from a heavenly place and came down and manifested himself, humiliated himself to put himself into a human form and died a humiliating death on the cross of Calvary to make sure that we had the power to be restored back into the garden. And that's where he rests at, because that's the whole day of Pentecost. And now when you understand Pentecost, this was the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Tabernacles, Shabbat, those blessed days. But we get into that a little later on. But I just wanted to let you rest on that, you know, dwell on that a little bit, search your scripture out. But this series is going to be very intriguing. And again, you can meet us here at Empowered Church every Thursday night at 7 p.m., 2205 East Palmdale Boulevard, Suite B, and every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I would ask that you pray this prayer with me. Just say, Lord Jesus, I ask for forgiveness of all of my sins. I repent of my sins, and I believe you died and was raised on the third day. And I'm asking that you come in my life as my Lord and personal Savior. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to call me at 877-228-5100 and let me speak to you and champion you to your next level and dimension in life with Christ. Thank you, and God bless you.